today on Real Radio.
The ministry is done wrong when we've got to grunt and grind and send your money in. If you don't send your money in, this ministry is going to fail. Hey, let it fail. Do not send your money in. Because when God guides, God provides. When God's in it, God is not going to let something sink that He's in.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called True Christian Ministry, continues a series now called the Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Their journey, of course, begins in Jerusalem, but very soon spreads to the Gentile world through Peter, John, and Philip, and through the miraculous conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who later becomes known as the Apostle Paul. Now, in a message called Who is a Christian from Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 23, we learned that a Christian is someone who preaches the gospel not only with words, but with their lifestyle. And a Christian is one who both encourages other believers and who perseveres by studying God's word to prepare for ministry. And now in Acts chapter 11, verses 27 through 30, we'll see how a true Christian ministry is made up of three parts. There's the spiritual aspect to ministry, the meaningful acts of ministry, and the practical side to ministry. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that true ministry is a spiritual act of worship, and our giving should come from a place of love and not obligation. A true ministry also needs to be meaningful by using the gifts and talents that God gives us to help those in need. And now, in his lesson called True Christian Ministry, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The church is to be an entity. It is to be an organism that God says in His Word He uses to provoke the Jews to jealousy. It's strange scripture. It's throughout scripture. But God speaks through Paul the Apostle, and He says that to us, by us being committed to the Lord, it provokes the Jew to jealousy, that we know our God, Yahweh, Jehovah, Yeshua, Adonai. By us Gentiles knowing the Lord God Almighty, it is to provoke the non-believing, or should I say the incomplete Jew who has not yet come to faith in Christ, it is to provoke them to jealousy. Well, what kind of jealousy? God says in His Word that He's jealous over us. Paul the Apostle in his epistle says that He is jealous over us with a godly jealousy, that Paul might present us unto the Lord a holy and pure virgin, clean, spotless. What is this jealousy? There is a godly jealousy that the Lord has, and there's a godly jealousy that God produces in us, I guess I should say through us, into the hearts of the non-believer. Let me ask you, as we see the Gentile church this morning in our study, ministering and serving, the whole thrust is to provoke the non-believers, as they see our benevolence, to jealousy. If the church does what it is supposed to do, the world will drive down this street out here and in Telephone Avenue or wherever you're at, wherever we go, the church ought to look at us and say, man, I want what they have. And that's the way it ought to be. God tells us over and over again in scriptures. You can jot these down. Romans chapter 10, verses 19 to 21. God says there, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation, and I will move you to anger by those who are a foolish nation. I was found by those who did not seek me, and I was revealed unto those who did not ask for me. And he used that verse in Romans, Paul did, to provoke the Jews. In Romans 11:11, the scripture says there, to provoke Israel to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentile. Isn't that great? Look at you. You've got an ability to provoke people. You walk around, you know, it's funny. We walk around, we're kind of like, oh man, bummed out. Do you realize the power that you have according to the Word of God? Walk up to somebody. This is a great time of the year to do it. You know, Christmas season. I mean, it's like a given. Walk into Mervyn's. Hey, man, praise the Lord. Jesus has come. And you know, people are going to look at you like, what a weirdo. What are you talking about Jesus for? It's Christmas. They don't have a clue. You've got the news to provoke the world to jealousy. You ought to be so blessed. I should say you are blessed. You ought to allow yourself to enjoy the blessings that you have and thank the Lord and let the people see you thank the Lord. Isn't God good? Stand in line. They got a sale. Got a sale there at Kmart. Hey, praise the Lord. Got a sale. Isn't that great? Praise God. I'm a Christian. Are you a Christian? We need to share. This church in Antioch is so pumped up. They're so excited. Why are they so? Because last week in our study, Barnabas built them up. What was the word? He exhorted them. He encouraged them. And we talked about how it means to grab the ear or to grab you by the chin and say, now you continue in Christ. You keep going. And then it says last week that they spent a year in the Word of God studying and learning the Bible, that church did. So whenever the Word of God is deposited in your life, listen up. Boy, does this affect you. If you are growing, if you are learning, if you are any further in your walk with Christ today than where you were 6 months ago or last year, I got news for you. God is going to create circumstances to cause you, to bless you, to enable you to be a minister. And in this case, it's even a famine. God uses a famine to bless the needy church in Jerusalem through the Gentile believers in Antioch up north. And that's good news. In your notes, you're going to want to take this down. We've got 3 points to this message. The first one is in verses 27 to 28, that Christian ministry must first be spiritual. What is true Christian ministry? First of all, it must be spiritual ministry. Why? Listen to this. You are a spiritual entity. This church is a spiritual organism. We are spiritual beings. We have been born again. God will minister to you and through you on spiritual grounds. More often than not, it's things that you cannot see on the outset. But you are spiritual. All of God's ministry and service must be spiritual. Verse 27. In these days, that is in the days of all of the encouragement and teaching that's going on, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world. By the Spirit. This man, a prophet, Agabus, he shows up a little later in the book of Acts, and we'll study him more there. But it says in these days, while all the building and all the strengthening is going on within the church, a prophet comes, actually prophets. But one of them stands up there, Agabus. The word prophet, you want to take down in your notes? Kind of interesting word. It has two meanings. The word prophet in Greek is the word prophet. And it means this, to foretell. Like Billy Graham, foretells the word of God. He's a prophet in the truest sense of the biblical term. He foretells. That is, you open up the Bible and you foretell. You declare what's in the word. It means to reveal or to declare the word of God. But it also has the meaning that all of our ears perk up on and like, prophet, tell me the future. Isn't it funny how we want to know the future? You know, and right now, this is a great time of the year. You're going through the supermarket, and Jean Dixon's got her junk up there. You know, 49 prophecies for the year. You know, I'd like to have a magazine right next to hers saying, how many prophecies Jean Dixon failed this last year? But you can't be a false prophet about it. This man, Agabus, declares a futuristic event under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He declares news in advance. That is also the definition of God's prophet, but it better come to pass, or else you're in big trouble. And so this visitation comes to the church, and we see this gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, last week we saw the gift of exhortation. This week, the gift of prophecy. Also in this study, we'll see the gift of helps and the gift of giving. But it's all done by the Holy Spirit. I want to ask you something right now. If you're a Christian, raise your hand right now. Just wave to me. Hi, nice to meet you. Gosh, that looks neat. I wish you could see that from up here. It's pretty cool. Do you realize this? And do not raise your hand at this next one. Those of you who raised your hands as Christians, within our gathering, there are certainly some as Christians who do not know their gift. And don't do it. But if I were to ask you, raise your hand if you do not know what gift you have from the Holy Spirit, there would be some hands go up. There would certainly, if you would ask me that question 4 years into my Christian experience, I could not figure out what gift I had. And I used to cry about it. And I used to just absolutely get distraught because I didn't know. Why was I so upset? Because the Bible declares, first of all, that every Christian has at least one gift of the Holy Spirit given. At least one. So when I read that in the scripture, I was upset because I didn't know what mine was. So first question is, me, to myself, I asked, am I a Christian? And I struggled for 4 years with that. I couldn't figure out which way was up. I loved God, but I couldn't figure out a gift. And it was funny because all along, I was sharing the Lord with people, and the people were coming to the Lord, and I could not see that gift of evangelism that God had put in my heart. But you know what? That's how a gift of the Holy Spirit ought to work. Agabus did not come on the scene in Antioch and say, attention, attention, I am Agabus the prophet. Get the cameras, lighting, word, makeup. This guy is a man of God. He's under the influence of God. It means that God was working the gift of God through him. You know what the gift of God through something is like? You ever seen an orange tree? Orange tree standing there, and the gift of God through an orange tree are what? Apples. No, oranges. And that orange tree is not going, oh, there, an orange. I've got 400 of these to go. No, he doesn't do that. Or she doesn't do it. It doesn't do that. The tree does not do that. What does it do? It's an orange tree. It produces oranges and orange juice and orange pulp and everything connected oranges because it's an orange tree. You are a Christian now by the Holy Spirit indwelling you. You have a gift. So what's the gift? More often than not, it's a gift that works out of you naturally, though it's supernatural. It's supernatural of origin, but it comes in very natural ways. Why is that the case? Why is this so? Agabus comes up from Jerusalem and declares a fantastic message of preparation, but how does that work? Why is that so? Jot this down in your notes. I think this is exciting. In Ezekiel chapter 44, Ezekiel 44, verses 17 and 18, God is simply doing his work. Listen to this. And it shall be that whenever the priests, that's who you are, enter into the gates of the inner court, that they shall put on linen garments. No wool shall come near them while they are ministering within the gates of the inner court or within the house of the Lord. You're not to wear wool in the house of the Lord if you're a priest. The Bible says we're all priests. So if you have any wool on today, we'll have you leave now. I'm kidding. You're not to wear wool when you're ministering to the Lord. Why? What is this? Some kind of a weird trip here? Hang on, watch this. This is really fun. You're not to wear wool. It says in verse 18, they shall have their linen turbans on their heads and their linen, or we can say today cotton underwear, on their bodies. They shall not clothe themselves with anything that shall cause the priest to sweat. You know why? You're working with the Lord. You're serving under the influence and under the power of the Holy Spirit, which means you're not to sweat. It's to be no sweat. Oh, the ministry, the ministry. Oh, the Hey, buddy, if you're sweating, you're stinking. If you're sweating, you're soiled. If you're sweating, it's not of God. The ministry is done wrong when we've got to grunt and grind and send your money in. If you don't send your money in, this ministry is going to fail. Hey, let it fail. Do not send your money in. Because when God guides, God provides. When God's in it, God is not going to let something sink that he's in. They learned that lesson going across the lake. God was asleep in the boat. Oh, Lord, wake up, we're perishing. Not while I'm in this boat, we're not. The sad thing is read this fine print. There were other boats gathered around the Lord's boat, and he wasn't in those other boats. That could have gotten scary. I would have gotten in the Lord's boat. But the point is, God is leading and guiding. Now, I want to just level the sights right here now. Let's just be straight shooters right here. But I want you to know something right now. There are people on TV, but there's one guy. He said, Diane Sawyer. He said, I'm a minister of God. I have special privileges. That's true, you do. You're to pick up trash when people dump it, and you're supposed to clean the bathroom, and so I can understand that. But that's not what he was talking about. She said, you know, how is it that you justify your $5.5 million home on the shores of Florida here? And he said, I spent so much time in prayer over all of these prayer requests, and the ink got into my blood, and I got sick. So my doctor said I needed to breathe salty air. So I had to move. And he said, since I've been down there, I've been doing very well, been happy. Oh, I bet you have been happy. That's sick. That's preaching the gospel for gain. There are wolves out there, and they want money. Paul the Apostle warned us in Timothy that their God is their belly. And that's not ministry. That's self-gain, and it's prevalent around the world, and it's disgusting. I had a pastor tell me that you should be making 25 cents personally off of every tape that the church sells. I said, well, that'll never happen. Well, how come? We ought to do it. I can't believe that. I was told that by another pastor. That's sick. Agabus comes on the scene under the power of the Holy Spirit, and there's no sweat. When you are led by the Spirit of God, you don't need to sweat about it. You don't need to fret about it. You don't need to pledge about it and cry about it. And Agabus is under the movement of the Holy Spirit, and it says in verse 28 that he showed by the Spirit. It means that he, in some way, we're not quite exactly sure what the word show means. He depicted analogy, the word can mean. He acted it out. Remember, Ezekiel acted it out by the Holy Spirit? Ezekiel had little army men made, and he played army in the dirt. He literally played army in the dirt, and he crushed the Israeli army because these guys were coming in. It was a prophecy. Somehow, Agabus showed that there was going to be a famine throughout all of the world. And that word world means the Roman Empire, the known Roman Empire. But ministries must be spiritual. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, a great verse that you know well, says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Well, I went and looked at what context did God say that. And Zerubbabel, what a name, Zerubbabel was in a heap of trouble. And God begins to speak to him, and he says, Zerubbabel, it's not going to be by might, it's not going to be by power that I get my work done, but it's going to be by my Spirit. And so the very next verse that we so often neglect, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 7, says, who are you, O great mountain before Zerubbabel? Or who are you, great obstacle before whoever you might be, or Calvary Chino Hills, or whoever, whatever? What are you, O great mountain before Zerubbabel? It says in that verse, you shall become a plain and shall be brought down, and the capstones of joy shall be shouted out, which are what? It says, grace, grace unto you. Grace. It is grace. God's unearned, can I say it's favor, but can I change it and say God's unearned labor? God's work by the Spirit that accomplishes true Christian ministry? Now, I think you've gathered by now in this message that if you're not a Christian, this is kind of a boring message for you. But if you're a Christian and you care, this is a mandate that God is showing us in the latter end of this chapter. So very important. I had the greatest week, I got to tell you. In fact, by Wednesday afternoon, I walked in and told the gals in the front office, I just said, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, the world can come to an end right now. This has been a great week. I am absolutely blessed. It was unbelievable. By Wednesday, I had the chance to see miracles. There were physical miracles accomplished. There were salvation came to a heart or two, recommitments. Tremendous stuff all by Wednesday. And let me tell you, I was like, I'm on cruise. This is great. It's autopilot. God is just blowing my mind. Have you ever been there when God is like, too good? This is just too good. God was just moving because his spirit was in control. He was the one doing it. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13, Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, the Bible tells us there, and he himself, that is God, gave some to be apostles. In my Bible, I have the word some circled. And then the next line, he gave some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastor teachers. Why did he do this? Why do you have a gift, even though you don't know what it might be? You need to find out. He gave you a gift for the equipping of the saints and for the work of ministry, Ephesians chapter 4 tells us, verse 12. For the edifying of the body. That word edifying, we get the word edifice, or to change the face of. I like this. Those of you who earlier waved your hand, you're a Christian. Do you realize that you, inside of you, has been given a gift by the Holy Spirit that this place needs? That the world needs? Do you realize that not everybody is to be a mouth? Not everybody is to be a foot? Not everybody is to be an elbow? But we all come together as one? That in reality, what's going on here right now on this Sunday morning is a briefing for the believer that they might go out and use their gift more effectively? What are we doing? What are you doing? I'm not asking you to sweat. That would be wrong. But if you don't know your gift, find out what it is. I had a woman in tears last service say, I don't know what my gift is, and I love the Lord, but I know in my heart I don't know. What do I do? And I say, you get a notebook, you get a pen, and you go to prayer and let God speak to you. And you'll get a couple of things, and maybe this is for you. You'll get a couple of, well, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. Listen, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:1, he says, my brethren, I would not have you be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. The word ignorant means to be uninformed. Do you know? If you don't, Paul says, don't be ignorant anymore. You gotta know.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called True Christian Ministry. Thanks for listening. And when ministry is done through the Holy Spirit, it will be real, touchable, and effective. True Christian Ministry is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit, and will continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, in looking at what true Christian ministry is, we have a tendency to think that we have to be a Peter or a John or even just like the Apostle Paul. And we often forget that they had their own share of struggles, mistakes, and setbacks. True Christian ministry is about being yourself as you learn, grow, and discover what God wants to do with your life. That's why Pastor Jack offers a variety of Christian videos to watch when you click on the Home tab at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Some of the videos that have been offered are on topics such as real life basics, about how, as you mature in Christ, what will be the true you? All About Your Salvation is another great one if you're just starting out in your walk with Christ. And the video God, Marriage, and Divorce is about how marriages are being attacked in today's culture. So check out the website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. There's always something happening on the home tab. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.